Ephesians chapter number 5, and let's begin reading in verse 15. The Bible says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And let me say this, if they were evil when Paul wrote this in A.D. 64, how much more are they evil in 2022? Verse number 17, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now, I meet people all the time, especially in youth meetings. "I want to know what the will of God for me is." Well, honey, open up the Bible. It's pretty plain and simple. Verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Let's go to God in prayer, and then I'll try to organize my burden and give it to you today. You pray for us. Father, I thank you, Lord, today for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of it and the power of it. Thank you, Lord, that you preserved this generation. And Lord, I told you early this morning, I only want what you want. That is my heartfelt desire. Lord, I pray, God, that you would make sure I check my motives this morning, Lord, that no flesh should glory in your presence. Lord, only that Jesus Christ would be glorified. Lord, I feel very, very strongly about what I'm dealing with today. And I pray that you give me wisdom. Lord, you know this is not the proper construction of a message I like to do. Lord, this is how you told me to do it. And so, Lord, I'm going to try to obey you. And Lord, may your will be done. Lord, I pray, God, you'd sit down among us today. Holy Spirit of God, would you move up and down the pews and touch every heart. Lord, meet every need, God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We understand, we come to these verses, that there is circumstances that Paul is dealing with. He said in verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And then verse 17, he brings up that, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And according to that context, the context in verse 18 is, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Amen. That is a capital S. Now, we understand that everyone knows that everyone that is saved, when you got saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit of God took up residence within your heart. Amen. We don't believe you get saved, then you get the Holy Ghost. We don't believe in a second blessing. Honey, I'm way past a second blessing. I'm on my trillionth blessing. Amen. But there's a lot of denominations that teach that you get saved and then you got to get the Holy Ghost after that. But the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're bought with a price, therefore glorify," and you're not yourselves. He said, "You're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You know what he's saying? When you got saved, the Holy Ghost of God moved in on the inside of you. When you got saved, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13, we were baptized into the body. Now, that's not water baptism, amen. Hey, you can't put water every time you see baptism in your Bible, because in Matthew 3, John said he's going to come baptize you with fire, and there ain't no water right there, all right? But we want to put water every time you see baptism. But that word baptized simply means to come under, to submerge. And honey, when I got saved, I became in Christ. I was submerged in Christ. Christ is in me. Oh, but I am in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. We know according to Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 25 that we are to live in the Spirit. We know in Galatians 5:17, we are to walk in the Spirit. In Romans 8:14, he said, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." We understand in Romans 8:26 that we are to pray with the Spirit of God. Even when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." Amen. We are to preach with the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:4. Paul said, when I preached unto you, it was in the power and the demonstration. He said, my speech was not with, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. If you're wondering why I'm flipping and turning, I ain't used my iPad. I just wrote verse reference down and I'm a flipping and a turning today. All right. So you stay with me. I'll get my feet on the ground in a minute and I'll get to preaching. We understand according to Acts 1:8 that we are to witness with the Spirit. He said, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me, both in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. We understand that we are to fellowship in the Spirit according to Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 1. It talks about the fellowship of the Spirit that we have. You know why I can go to church after church and preach all over the country and meet people that I don't know but have a common relationship and fellowship with them? It's because the Spirit of God that's in them is the same Spirit of God that's in me, and we have fellowship based on the Spirit. Amen. We understand according to 2 Corinthians 3:17 that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We understand Ephesians 1:3 that we are sealed by the Spirit of God. Romans 15:13, we hope by the Spirit. Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We know according to 2 Peter 1:21 that the Scripture did not come by private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by what? The Holy Ghost. We understand according to 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 7. I do want to read this one to you. I want to make sure I get it right. 1 John 5:7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The Father, of course, being God the Father. The Word in that text being the Lord Jesus Christ, because John 1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was, it was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Amen. And so there's the Father, and there's the Son, and then there is the Holy Ghost. And John said, and these three are one. Most of you study Bibles will have a little marker right there, and they'll say that this verse does not belong in the Bible, but it belongs in the Bible because it's teaching us about the Trinity. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, co-equal, co-eternal, co-powerful. It's not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost on a stepladder. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They are co-equal, co-eternal, co-powerful. Amen. We know all this stuff about the Spirit. If we know all this stuff about the Spirit, then how come we ain't spiritual? If we know all this stuff about the Spirit, I mean, we'll say, boy, the Spirit moved today. And we always equate it, well, the preacher jumped on the pew, the Spirit must have been moving. No, he might have just been trying to make something happen. Come on now, talk to me. Amen. I mean, might have just been working something up instead of praying something down. Amen. We know a lot about the Spirit. We know all these verses. There's so many more verses I could give you. But you know what I found out? A lot of people don't know much about the Holy Spirit of God at all. It's not an it. Jesus called him a he. In fact, and this is not what I'm preaching, but I got to lay this groundwork to get where I'm going. Who is the Holy Spirit? I've given you this material before. I promise you, church, I'm not just rehashing stuff because I didn't want to take time to study, all right? But I felt like it was needful for me to write. In fact, I forgot I'd given this, wrote all this stuff down, and looked at a note and said, oh, I've already preached this, but I'm going to give it anyway, amen? The Holy Ghost of God, according to John chapter number 14, He is commissioned by the Son. John chapter 14, verse 16, here's what Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. So the Holy Spirit of God was sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was commissioned by the Son. Verse 17 of that text says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. Now watch this dispensational truth right here. For He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. During that time, Brother, I almost said Brother Caden, but he ain't here this morning. During that time, Brother Richie, the Holy Ghost of God would come on a man and come off a man. But after Calvary and after the resurrection, and when Jesus breathed on them in the upper room and said, receive you the Holy Ghost went from being someone that came on and off a man, but He took up residence within the believer's heart. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So He's commissioned by the Son. Stay with me, I'm going somewhere. He convicts the sinner. John chapter 16, In verse number 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he, get that, it's not it. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. Amen. We call that Holy Ghost conviction. The Spirit of God is the one that shows you you're lost and on your way to hell without God. He convicts the sinner. He was commissioned by the Son. According to John 14 verse 26, he conveys the Scripture. The Bible said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. You know what he's saying? He's saying the Spirit of God gets here, he's going to tell you everything that I said. He's going to confirm it. He's going to convey it. He's going to back it up. I tell you, all these people running around saying God told them to do this and God told them to do that. If they don't line up with the King James Bible, God ain't said nothing to that crowd. Amen. He will not contradict what Jesus said. He centers on the Savior. John 16, 13, the Bible said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. In other words, all these churches going around worshiping the Holy Ghost, they're wrong. Amen. Jesus said when the Spirit of truth has come, he's not going to speak of himself. He's not going to bring attention to himself. But he's going to send all the glory to Jesus. I'm going to tell you, and that is still a principle today. Any preacher, any singer, any church, any ministry that brings glory to themselves, amen, that brings a recognition of who they are not of the Spirit of God. Amen. Our preacher growing up with the Steve Grubbs. In fact, Lord willing, tomorrow I'm going to get to go by the church where I got saved. Amen. Hopefully, we won't have to break in the building, but I want to go in the room where I got saved. Amen. But I remember in that church, we'd walk in that foyer and right across the front there, our preacher had something built or painted there. It said, making much of Jesus. Amen. And that ought to be our lives, making much of Jesus. And preacher always taught us, if you'll make much of Jesus, Jesus will make much of you. Amen. And that's what the Holy Spirit of God does. He centers on the Savior. He comforts the saint. John 14, verse 16 through 18. He said that he's going to comfort you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He said, I'm going to send you a comforter. And aren't you glad we're not in this world alone? I'll say this. He confirms salvation. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 9. The Bible said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, Paul said, if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of you, you are not saved. I wonder what them churches that believe you got to get a second blessing do with that verse. Because they said you get saved and you get the second blessing. But Paul said, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not even saved. You don't even belong to him. He confirms salvation, Romans 8, 16. The Spirit itself bear it witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know how I know I'm saved? The Holy Spirit of God confirmed it to me. He conducts sanctification. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Y'all all right with this little Sunday school lesson this morning? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So not only does the Spirit of God convict me and show me my need of a Savior and points me to Christ, but He works on me and sanctifies me. I am His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But according to Ephesians 5:18 that I read this morning, He controls the saved. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Heard Brother Stroud say this one time, too many are trying to get filled one time instead of be filled all the time. That little term right there, be filled with the Spirit, means to continually be filled. Amen. Y'all with me this morning? Preacher, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Does it mean I'm going to speak an unknown tongue? No, you can't control the tongue you got. Amen. Mae Jackson in a meeting one time, and this tongue flapper come up and said, preacher, pray to God to give me a new tongue. Brother Mae said, honey, you can't control the tongue you got. Just forget about it, all right? But it won't make you speak an unknown tongue. And by the way, speaking in tongues in the book of Acts was never a gibberish. It was always for the purpose of evangelizing those that did not have the Word of God in their language. But when that which is perfect is come, the King James Bible, that which in some part shall be done away with. And by the way, anytime there was speaking in tongues going on, it was never that's all, folks. It was never any of that anyway. So I say, you making fun of them people? You're exactly right. I'm making fun of those people. They got a devilish spirit on them, amen. That's not right. The Corinthian church come up with that, and Paul had to straighten that crowd out, amen. I don't care if your grandma did speak in tongues. Somebody should have slapped her upside her head and told her to have some sense, amen. I'm telling you, the Word of God teaches us that the tongues were used for evangelism. It was never a woman doing it. In fact, that's why Paul said, let the women keep silent in the church. It wasn't they couldn't say amen or praise the Lord. It was you had a bunch of women getting up, tongue flapping, going all around trying to run their mouth. And Paul said, tell them to sit down and be quiet. Because what they're doing is not right. And it still ain't right. Amen. Speaking in tongues was the equivalent of me preaching in English today, and a Spanish man understanding in Spanish, and a French man understanding in French, and on we go, a different language. They all understood in their own language. Amen. That's what tongues was. But people say, well, if you're full of the Spirit of God, you'll speak in tongues. You'll never show them where Jesus spoke in tongues. And the Bible said in Luke chapter 4, He was full of the Holy Ghost. But He never spoke in tongues. So it's unfortunately Jesus wasn't even saved. Ain't that awful? Ain't it amazing how the Bible tears down false doctrine? Yes, sir. Well, if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to have chills going up and down your back. Honey, I had chills going up and down my back when Keely Ringo caught that interception in the national championship and Georgia beat Alabama. Somebody say it. But that wasn't the Spirit. It was a Spirit, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So it ain't cold chills. Some of you get cold chills when that boy's got that gun on Old Yeller and that corn crib fixing to shoot him. You get cold chills. Oh, no. It's not an emotional stir. That's not being filled with the Spirit. You know what being filled with the Spirit is? It's the Holy Ghost controlling you. It is being controlled by the Spirit of God. Are you under anybody's control this morning? We know all this Bible, don't we? We know all these verses. Every verse I've read this morning, I saw you nodding your head. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, that's what the Bible said. We know all about that. But we ain't doing nothing with it. Is He controlling us? Well, I don't want nobody to control me. Well, that's why in this text, He said, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. He said, you got to come up under that Spirit's authority. James chapter number 4 says, submitting yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Everybody wants to quote, resist the devil and all that stuff and he'll flee from you. But they're not submitting their life to God. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I'm come that you might have life. That's salvation. And that you might have it more abundantly. That's the Spirit-filled life. You know what I'm figuring out in my own life? I don't know as much about the Spirit-filled life as I ought to. How many of you say, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I wouldn't want you to lie in church. But how many of you can say, preacher, yeah, I'm full of the Spirit. He's got every part of me and got control of me. I've yielded every part of my life to Him. But according to this text, to be filled means that container has nothing in it but Him. I think we're full of a lot of other stuff, don't you think? A lot of people never get full because they won't get empty. You know, I'm at 18 minutes and it's only 11:42. So let's make a deal. Instead of the 30-minute deal, let's go 12 o'clock. Good deal? All right. You know, a lot of people, I've gone to church all my life and you'll talk to people, try to get them to come to church. Hey, I'd like for you to come down to our church with us and visit with us. Oh, I got offended and hurt at church one time. I ain't coming back. I got offended. I got bothered. Somebody said something to me. Somebody got my parking spot. Somebody sat in my pew. Somebody sang my song. Bless your heart. Get this man a martyr's crown. Somebody said, you making fun of him? You better believe I'm making fun of him. We've coddled and been played wet nurse to so many immature people in church over the years, it's pitiful. You know who gets the most offended at church? The preacher. No, I'm just kidding. No. You know who gets the most offended at church? The Holy Spirit of God. Because church is all about you. And church is all about me. That's our mentality, ain't it? That's why you got these churches now that are trying to make it. And I believe I'll be friendly to people and welcoming. Don't misunderstand me. But they're trying to change the atmosphere of their church to try to attract the world in. Instead of, why not do things to allow the Spirit of God to feel welcomed? Make Him, I say it all the time, they got that, was telling yesterday about wanting to go back up to the zoo this spring, take the boys and Jude up there and just have a good day going to the zoo. And we'll go in that bird sanctuary. Y'all been up in there? And they don't ask me if I like what's in there. They don't ask me if I like where everything's located. You know why? It ain't a Josh sanctuary. It ain't a human sanctuary. It's a bird sanctuary. It's whatever the birds want. And this is the Lord's house. But you know, people come to church, well, they didn't sing my favorite song, or my favorite preacher ain't preaching, or they didn't do this, or they didn't do what I like. It ain't about what we like, folks. It's about being controlled by the Spirit of God. And I'm afraid the reason we don't have spiritual people is because most people in our churches don't know who the Spirit is. Here's my little thought, and I'm hesitant to announce a series, all right? But I'm going to deal with one of them this morning. The Holy Ghost, you can sin against Him. And you can offend the Holy Ghost. There are four ways in the Bible, and I'm not going to give you all four of them this morning, but I want to give you one of them. We understand this world is in a mess. And it's been in a mess longer than I've been around and longer than you've been around. It's been a mess since the day Adam took of that fruit in the garden. Amen. And it ain't getting no better. We saw in Sunday school, Russia's fixing to take Ukraine. A lot of Bible prophecy things are setting up. They have a one world church over there. They got a one world currency over there setting up for a one world government. Somebody said, preacher, does that bother you? No, that means the rapture could take place any day now. But here's what does bother me. The church is, for the most part, Jesus is coming. Yeah, I'm glad He is. Oh, okay. What time is He going to get done? We're so controlled with frivolous things of this world that we don't realize we're on the edge of the rapture. And God don't want His church going out cold like at Laodicean church. He wants her going out on fire. But I'm afraid we won't see God do much of anything in our churches because we sin against the Holy Ghost. We offend Him. Can I give you one this morning? Turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter number 7 this morning. I hope this is making sense. Now this is for our preacher, this is extremely topical. And I don't preach like this much, but this is good for us, all right? Acts chapter 7. In the context here, I won't read all the verses. Stephen is being called to answer for his preaching and his testimony and for the Lord. And he's given this whole history of Israel. And finally, in verse 51, he gets done with this message, and he makes the application. He says, ye stiff-necked, and uncircumcised in heart and in ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. He just got done the last 50 verses preaching about the sins of Israel. All the way back to Moses, he dealt with Abraham. He dealt with all of them. And he got down and said, I'm going to make the application. You're stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, and you're resisting the Holy Ghost. Just like our fathers did and your fathers did. This morning, for the next few moments, I want to preach on resisting the Holy Ghost. The first way you sin against the Holy Ghost that I want to deal with is you can resist Him. This word resist, you look it up, it means to run against. It means to oppose, to fight against, to stand against. Stephen looks at this crowd. I mean, he's preached 50 verses of truth. He said, I'm going to tell you what your problem is. You're resisting the Holy Ghost. This crowd, Brother Tony, I ain't walking around much in a while. Sorry, boys on the camera. This crowd, Brother Tony, though, they knew it. Everything Stephen just preached, they knew. And they knew real well. They had a head knowledge. But they wouldn't allow the Spirit of God to work it in their heart. That uncircumcised in heart means they was not unattached from this world. They were stiff-necked, rebellious. Ain't nobody telling me what to do.
You know what Stephen said? You're resisting the Holy Ghost. You know what Samuel told King Saul, 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry. That word resist, it literally gives the idea to be at odds, to be fighting for control, and resisting the Holy Ghost. This is where I want to deal with this morning. There are three groups of people, I believe, that resist the Holy Ghost. Number one, the sinner concerning their salvation. In this text, these people are lost. They're lost. Saul of Tarsus is in this crowd. Thank God he gets saved in Acts 9. But he's in this crowd because they're going to lay their coats at Saul's feet. But you know what they were doing? They knew Stephen was right. They knew he was preaching truth. But they're resisting him. You're not getting the picture. Come here, Jared. You know what they were doing? Come walk to me. They were pushing them back, resisting the Holy Ghost. You know what? There's people sitting in this building this morning. You know you're lost. And the Spirit of God comes to deal with you and you resist Him. Nope. I'm all right. I'm okay. Leave me alone. I know what I prayed. I know what I said. My mama told me I was saved. The preacher said I was saved. You know what you're doing? You're resisting the Holy Ghost. You're trusting in everything but Jesus. There's people that trust the church. Trust what they said. Trust what they did. Trust, well, I got baptized. That ain't salvation, friend. You're resisting the Holy Ghost. He tries to deal with you and you resist Him and you turn Him away and turn Him away and turn Him away and turn Him away. You keep doing that, He'll turn you over. I believe it's more of a dispensational sin. But Matthew 12, Jesus warned about against blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. What that sin dealt with was when Jesus was on earth, it was that pharisaical crowd standing there. They know who Jesus is. They know He's the Messiah. But they publicly identified and they called Him a devil. No, they said, we don't want you. And Jesus said, you're in danger of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Whether or not you knew that today, I do know you can't resist Him. You can tell God, I don't want you. I'd rather trust my prayer, my church membership, my baptismal certificate. You know what you're doing? You're resisting the Holy Ghost. And you're going to die and go to hell without God. Wouldn't that be awful? To come to a church like this, hear singing like this, preaching like this, and die and go to hell? All because you would not submit yourself to God, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, but you resisted the Holy Ghost. Number two, the sinner concerning salvation, but the saint concerning submission. In other words, there are people sitting in this building this morning. You're saved, and God told you to do something. Are you hearing me? And you're telling Him no. You're literally standing in opposition, striving. No, I'm not going to do that. And you wonder why your prayers ain't getting answered. And you wonder why God ain't moving in your life. You know why? Because you're resisting. You've not been obedient. How many times have we walked out of this building and not been obedient to what the Spirit of God told us to do? Remember what I said, the Spirit of God will not contradict this Bible. Some of you quench the Spirit of God because you wouldn't testify if they had a gun to your head. Well, I ain't going to do that. They'll think I'm crazy. We already know you're crazy. You come here, don't you? Amen. I'm telling you this morning, they resist the Holy Ghost. He wants you to submit an area of your life, wants you to do something for Him. Maybe testify, a witness to somebody on the job or at school or wherever you do business at. Speak to somebody about the Lord, but you resist Him. No wonder He's so grieved and so offended. How'd you like it if every time somebody come around and you went around somebody, they say, no! I'm not doing no, no, no. You probably quit coming around after a while. There's so many churches this morning dead and dry as last year's bird's nest because they're resisting the Holy Ghost. The sinner concerning salvation, the saint concerning submission, and the saved concerning sin. You know what the Spirit of God, He says He's going to do in John 16? He's going to reprove you. He's going to correct you. He is going to point out areas of your life that is sin and say, you ought to get that right. But you won't. You know what you're doing? You're resisting. As far as the only person I can find in the Bible that we're supposed to resist is the devil. James 4, submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. But you know what we do? We resist the Holy Ghost.
We do whatever the flesh and whatever the world, whatever the devil wants us to do.
Ain't it amazing how we get it backwards? Stephen said, you resist the Holy Ghost. And James said, you're supposed to be resisting the devil. I tell you, I hear stories of good men of God and moves of God. And I just don't want a good service here at Safe Harbor. I just don't want, if y'all are looking for it, it's HDMI number one back here on the camera, back here. I'm trying to get it fixed for the captives in the nursery, man. I'll try to be mindful of that. I just don't want good service. I want God to work in our church because our kids need it. Our families need it. You know what we need at Safe Harbor? We need a Spirit-filled church. We need a Spirit-filled church. We need spiritual people. Well, that's for the preacher and for the deacons and for Brother Michael and Brother Caden and Brother Richie and Brother Larry, the preachers in the church. Where'd you get that at? If you're saved, you are commanded to be filled with the Spirit and be controlled by the Spirit. You're commanded. It ain't a suggestion. It ain't if you feel like it. He said, be filled. But you know what we'd rather do? I'm going to come to church, keep the preacher off my back. I'm going to give an offering so people don't think bad of me. I'm going to put in a faith promise mission card, whether I feel it out or not. But I'm not going any further. Is this all you... You know what? And really, it's because preachers have cheapened the gospel. Get saved so you don't have to go to hell. Well, by the way, if you're here this morning, you don't want to go to hell, and that's the only reason you think about getting saved, come on, that's a good reason. But there is so much more to salvation than not going to hell. It is living a life of obedience and reverence to God and yielding your life to the Spirit of God. And what you know what I'm saying? We don't have what those men had. We don't have the touch of God. I was listening to a man. Y'all right? Listen to a man this morning. I've not had him here yet. I want to have him here one day. The Lord gave us opportunity and a good evangelist. And he said God had called him to preach and God called him to evangelism. And he got called. A preacher called him and said, would you come preach a revival for me? Monday through Friday. He said, I'd be honored to. And he said, I didn't know this. He said, but the deacons of that church, the preacher had an accident, was on crutches, and the deacons of that church had seven deacons. I don't know why they had seven deacons, amen. Church ran 50 people, had seven deacons. That's never smart, amen. But the deacons took him down to Sunday school room on Sunday night and took his crutches away from him and said, you ain't bringing that preacher in. We don't like what he preaches. We don't like how he preaches. He preaches against sin. We don't like that. And that preacher, they threatened to whoop him. Thankfully, a couple of the preacher boys heard what was going on and went in there and got the preacher out of there. Well, that preacher walks in on Monday night not knowing that. He said, I thought it was a little tight on Monday night. He said, well, I got to preaching on that Tuesday night. And he said, there was a young man on the front row, long-haired, hit the altar and got born again that night. And they went 7 more weeks, God saving people. By the way, you know who the young man was? Barry Rackley. Randy Bain was preaching the revival meeting. Boy, I heard that this morning right down the road. That just stirred my heart. Talked about on the last night of that revival meeting, there's a man that had a brother. Every night of the meeting, he had invited to come to church. He said, I ain't going to church. I ain't going. That Brother Bain said on the last night of the meeting, that man come in, had a black eye. His jaw was busted. And he said, what happened, brother? He said, well, I walked across the road and invited my brother to church tonight. He said, and he whooped me. Told me he wasn't coming. He said, I got to go to work. He said, but he called me He's apologized for helping me. He said, he's coming to church tonight. He said, I got to go to work. You pray for him. That man came in and got saved. You know what stirs me? People they prayed for to get saved, got saved. And people they prayed for to get right, got right. But you know what we do? Boy, that's a good story. This ain't made up stuff. God is able. But you know what those people did? Those people, yeah, them seven deacons were a mess, but thank God there were some people there that prayed and got the devil off that crowd and ran them deacons off, amen. And God got to moving in that place and God got to saving folks. But you know, we're at ease in Zion. Amos 6 talks about, whoa, those that are at ease in Zion, we're okay. We're not okay this morning. We've all got lost loved ones and lost family that need to be saved. People that's not right with God, that need to get right with God. The songwriter said, right, death is coming, hell is moving. But we're so focused on the things of the world and we're not controlled by the Spirit. You know what we do? We sin against the Holy Ghost and we resist Him. You know what y'all do this morning? Y'all put your hands up. Say, I submit. I surrender. Have you ever, look at me, I'm done, look at me. Have you ever come to God and gave Him your whole life? I didn't talk about getting saved. Did you hear me? Getting saved saves your soul. You ever gave Him your body? You ever gave Him your hands? You ever gave God your feet, your eyes, your mouth, your ears? God, I don't want to look at nothing that don't please You. God, I don't want to listen to nothing that don't please You. God, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to touch anything. I don't want to do anything that does not please You. You ever given your all to God? That's what being filled with the Spirit is. Giving yourself as a vessel to God.